Okay, so Proverbs chapter 19, and we'll read verses 24 to 29. If you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read Proverbs 19, 24 to 29, and I'll read if you'll follow along. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you'd help us. We look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that you'd help us to glean something from it. Help it to be practical. Help it to apply to our lives. And Lord, that we would examine our lives to see where we can make improvements. Encourage us, we pray, through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. And some of those verses, like verse 25, smiting the scorner, verse 29, judgments are prepared for the scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Those get me riled up sometimes. you hear in the news about someone that goes and loses control of a vehicle and does a hit and run. We have one recently in our city. And, person injures someone and maybe even kills someone. And they're not dealt with appropriately. And in some cases where maybe there's no loss of life, but there's been a hit and run, the police have finally tracked him down, and they get arrested, they get charged, and they get released and told, come to be in court 2 months from now. And in my estimation, I would love to see it. Of course, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not proposing vigilante justice. I'd love to just see the justice of the Bible. I'd love to see where people are made a public witness against such crimes, and that they are publicly punished for things like that instead of just told to be in court 2 months later. There's so much that if it was done the biblical way, you would see a big difference. I don't know about that. I don't know if I think many times they probably take their license away, but I'd like to hope so anyway. But today we're going to look at verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Seems like a weird sort of verse, doesn't it? He hides it in his bosom, won't bring it to his mouth again. Well, if we become lazy, it affects even such things as eating, where we even become too lazy to take care of ourselves. I remember I bet you every one of us can point to times in our life where that might have been us. I remember one point in my life when I was doing well, and I was eating very healthily and very carefully, losing weight and feeling good. And then there was an event in my life, someone else that took a wrong path. Someone that I'd been praying for, someone that I had high hopes for, that took a wrong path. And that really, that hit me. I mean, it sounds strange that it would, but it really gave me a bout of depression where I was like, oh, I had so much hope for this person. I saw their potential for the Lord. And it caused me to just go, forget this. Who cares about healthy living and eating properly and all that. And so for a time there, I just sort of didn't care. And that can be any one of us. We can be slothful in that area. We can look at slothfulness here in a general sense here. And we've looked at time to time at how a Christian person, whether man, woman, boy, or girl, is supposed to work. And we know we're supposed to work heartily as unto the Lord. We're told we're not to be men pleasers. So we're not supposed to just kind of, you know, do our work looking for man's praise. Because you know full well, if you and I work heartily as unto the Lord, we're going above man's standard. And we're going to have people happy with our work. It's a given, it's a guarantee. Now, at the same time, we do know also that sometimes working heartily as unto the Lord can cause coworkers to look down on us. They're like, you know, you're an eager beaver. You're making the rest of us look lazy. You know, well, I'm sorry. This is just the way I am. This is the way my faith tells me I need to work. Whatever. You try hard not to say something caustic or you know, say something that would be derogatory to them. You just say, well, that's just the way I work, or whatever. You know, I'm a Christian person, and this is the way God has shown me how to work. But as far as those that are in authority over you, if you're working heartily as unto the Lord, they're going to be happy. Unless, of course, it affects their bottom line. All right? Sometimes that happens. Yeah, sometimes we might focus more on the customer satisfaction end, and they think that the employer might be thinking, well, you're being too kind to the customers, and you really should be charging them more, or whatever the case might be, right? But for the majority of the time, if we work heartily as unto the Lord, our employer is going to be overjoyed with our performance. For the Christian, there ought not to be dust bunnies through our home, food scattered on the floor of our kitchen or under the dining room table. In our homes, we need to be careful to work very carefully to keep our residences clean. And I understand each one of us, you move a stove for some reason, and you're like, no one look, get the dustpan. And you know, you get those places that are kind of hard to get at, you know, under a fridge. And you're like, oh, there's $2.50 in coins under there, you know, and random toys, you know, and peas that rolled under the fridge, whatever. But as a general rule, we try hard to keep a clean residence. You don't want more food under the table than that's on the table, right? You know, as a paramedic, I have been in every sort of house you can imagine, ranging from the immaculate, where you feel like you need to take your boots off, to the house where you're glad that you're wearing steel toe boots. You know, I've been in homes where there's rotting, decaying food on the countertops, on the floor. I've been in homes where there's been animal hair, feces in abundance. Disgusting, isn't it? Oh, it's my prerogative. I can wear it whenever I want to, for sure. You know, I've had occasion to help others move, and that's what you tell. I mean, and of course, when we move, and we've had people helping us, there are times when you're like running ahead of them, trying to clean up something before they get to that spot. But, you know, there's a bit of a gauge as far as how good a person is at keeping their home. Again, granted, I expect each one of us would be embarrassed at some of the dust bunnies in the hidden places we don't expect. There's been cases where I've helped even Christians move, and like I said, you know, there's been more food under the table than under the table. There's been empty food containers strewn throughout the home. There's been the smell of old urine in children. There's been cases where I've nearly retched, and I have a strong stomach. And those are things that ought not to exist in the life of the Christian. When I mentioned urine. When I was growing up, our family was friends with another family who had a lot of children. And they had some children that had some troubles with bedwetting, and that, we know that's normal for many children. But their whole house reeked of old urine. You know, when it comes to potty training our children, we recognize that, you know, there's going to be accidents, right? And we try to We try to set ourselves up for success. It might be the rubber sheets, right, for a time. One thing I recommend is that when we think about potty training our children is that we don't push it so quickly. Sometimes we're really trying hard to get them out of diapers. But, you know, a child reaches a certain age where they all of a sudden something clicks. You notice it. Something clicks, and they have a much easier time being potty trained. And you know, when we push it and we're racing to get our children potty trained, and they're sometimes not ready, it adds a lot of unnecessary stress and manpower cleaning up to the scenario. A lot of unnecessary drama in our lives. So when we think about children and potty training, if they have accidents, let's deal with it now. Let's not have a house that when you walk into it, it smells of old urine. Let's get those sheets off. Let's get them in the washing machine right away. And just like everything, there's a balance in life, right? There's always, you know, you've got some children, you're trying to balance potty training with their age, and but if there's accidents, let's get it cleaned up. Some general verses on slothfulness, and then we'll look at some specific reasons for slothfulness and how to attack it. And just before I get to these verses, I'll hold that thought. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. This year for me, the Lord's really taught me some things that have been really helpful and has given a degree of freedom, taken some of the chains off, and I just thank the Lord for that. And, you know, our theme verse this year is to wait upon the Lord. He shall renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. And that might sound like a verse that kind of says, okay, this is a laid-back year. And it's not. It's a year to learn how to wait on Him and do great things for Him. So, I know I've certainly already learned some great things. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You might say, wow, this verse doesn't apply to us anymore because we don't have slaves. We don't have serfs and kingdoms and that of that nature. Oh, it certainly does apply to us. Those that are diligent shall be in positions of leadership. Those that are slothful, under tribute. If I am slothful, and I'm not working diligently, and if I end up resorting to things like a credit card to pay for regular things like groceries. And don't get me wrong, I do use my credit card to pay for groceries, and we pay it off. We use it to generate air miles. But if I'm using that as, if I'm leaving a balance on my credit card month after month after month, and it's accruing, I'm under tribute, aren't I? And each of us, we all know what it's like to sometimes get into a little bit of a hole and to feel the pinch of payments, of interest accruing. And you know how those credit card companies work? They give you an offer. And when you look at the offer, you better look at the fine print. You know, that offer of 2%. Oh, that's great. Little asterisks. Fine print for 6 months, for 4 months, and then it goes up to 20% after that, or whatever it might be. Pay attention to those kinds of details. Those are important details because 6 months will go by very quickly, and next thing you know, you are paying huge payments. I would call that tribute. Slothful shall be under tribute. Let's be diligent. Let's be careful with our finances, with our work, so that we're not under tribute. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. Now here's a verse about not taking care of what we have. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Slothful man. Slothful man was successful in hunting. He got himself some sort of an animal. And yet, he was not careful with it. And we've had friends that got different animals, they hung them, and then they started to breed maggots. They weren't properly cared for. In one case, we were given some meat as a family, and we ate it, and our family was sick for 3 days because it was not properly cared for. So that slothful person does not process the food. And of course, in those days, they had different ways of processing it. Or, he didn't roast it in a timely fashion. He kept it and it went off. You notice there the second half of Proverbs 12:27. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. That diligent person treats their property carefully. And we can extrapolate that into so many different ways. We could talk about, we could take the slothful aspect of it. We can remove it from the example given here of an animal. Think about our vehicles, for example. If I run my vehicle way, way, way past the 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 kilometer mark, I give that range because sometimes you might use a synthetic oil or semi-synthetic oil in your engine, and it's the recommendation it might be you can wait till 7,000 kilometers or whatever. But if I just say, who cares, doesn't matter, and I put 10,000, 12,000 kilometers on that engine, I am wearing that engine out. But if, on the other hand, I treat that vehicle as being precious and go, you know what, I have an app on my phone that I detail my kilometers when I change my oil, so that the oil gets the engine gets lubricated properly, so they don't have these little particulates that start to gum up and wreck the engine. The same goes for things like I've used the illustration before in our home in Shore Park. There was a combination of some building issues, the house prior to when we had it, not being insulated properly, not being sealed up properly. But I should have scraped my windows, sills, and I should have painted them more. It was our first house. I didn't realize that it's not just a cosmetic thing. It has to be sealed because water can wreck it. And I ended up with some rotting window sills and ended up replacing all the windows. And so, we got to be careful to treat it as precious, to treat it as careful. Because, if I'm wrecking stuff because of my inattention, then I'm spending more. I looked at a vehicle recently. It was a nice pickup truck, the engine was blown on it. I thought, well, maybe it's something I can fix. So it was going for a decent price. I thought, well, maybe I can fix it. And I called around and found another engine that I could actually even just do an engine swap if needed. And I went and took a look at the vehicle. And next to the vehicle was a big boat. And I mentioned to the guy, I said, oh, I saw that boat. You had that on Kijiji, didn't you? He goes, yeah. I says, motor's blown on that too. I seem to be hard on motors, he said. I looked at that truck that he was selling. Every square inch of it screamed, I've been abused. Every square inch of it. And I just said, no. Because of inattention, his boat's wrecked. Because of inattention, he blew his motor. Likely his transmission. His wheels, because of what happened in this whole event, his tires were bald. Inattention, it's going to cost him money. Simple things that really can keep that vehicle running a great deal longer and keep your money in your pocket. That's the, you know, when we think about this verse about the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Well, we can apply that. We can take that out of that context and apply that to other areas of our life, to mechanical things, to taking care of tools, that we don't leave them out in the rain, that they don't rust and get inoperable. That when we do have, that for instance, if we do have rust on a vehicle, that we take care of it when it's this small, before it's this big, or a rock chip on the windshield before it spiders out and goes all the other directions, and next thing you know, you're being pulled over at a traffic stop, and you got a ticket, and all it would have taken is getting those guys to fix that rock chip. I tried fixing a rock chip once. That didn't go over so well. Used a little diamond grinder and put some epoxy in there, and it didn't work. So I think it's good to give it to those that know how. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Proverbs 19:15. So let's take care of our things, our tools, our vehicles, our houses. You know, people are talking so often about, I got to spend all this money on this. I got to spend all this money on this. If you had done what you should have done in the very first place, you wouldn't be forking out all that money. I mean, that it affects us in so many different ways. If I have to work more shifts to pay for this problem because I didn't take care of it when it was a small problem, then I am taking time away from my family, and in my case here, I'd be taking time out of the ministry. So it grows. So Proverbs 18, verse 9, this connects with the verse that we just read. So Proverbs 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So the person that we read about in Proverbs 12:27 was a waster. A slothful man roasteth not that which is took in hunting. He wasted it. And when you think about hunting, you know, a person takes the life of a creature to eat it. They better use it. There's so many cases where people neglect that they only take part of it. They take the parts they like, and that is so wrong. They better eat it. So the slothful person and the waster, they are brothers. They're similar. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So making it very clear that I understand that there are times where a person, you know, medically has no energy, and that's understandable. At the same time, for others, where that's not the case, we got to be careful, because a person might say, oh, I'm just too tired to do this job. And I have found myself that if I just say, you know what, yes, I am too tired to do this job, but I'm going to do it anyway. If I just get into it, I get that second wind. And I do it. Get it done. Slothfulness casts us into a deep sleep. Even though this sounds the opposite of what it truly is, it's a positive feedback mechanism. If you're familiar with positive and negative feedback mechanisms, a positive feedback mechanism is one where a cycle starts and it starts to build on itself, just like a woman in labor. And, you know, the body sends out this hormone, that hormone, that hormone, until finally until it culminates in the delivery of that child. A negative feedback mechanism is one that actually stops the process. And so the slothfulness is, again, positive feedback mechanism where it builds on itself and gets worse and worse and worse. So let's not allow ourselves to be cast into a deep sleep. And we see that the idle soul shall suffer hunger. And those us that are parents, let's work hard to emulate a hardworking ethic so our children see it, and so that our children end up being hard workers. Now, that to a point. I've seen parents before that are so hardworking, they're just giving her. And they don't require anything of their children. And their children just go, there's mom, there's dad. And as a result, they become lazy because mom and dad do everything. At the expense of course, we want to be careful not to overload our children with different activities and work. Same time, they need to be taught how to work. And they need to be acclimatized to the real world. So that when they branch out into the real world, it doesn't, right? They need to know what it's like. Proverbs 21:25. We've looked at this verse before, and it kind of has a humorous ending to the verse. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of a sloth, of the slothful killeth him. So he has all these desires. But because he's slothful, he is not able to accomplish them, and he grinds to a halt. He wants to do this. He wants to own this. For his hands refuse to labor. It kind of sounds humorous in a sense because it almost sounds like, hands go. No, I'm not going. But no, it's that he won't labor. He, she won't labor. Another familiar verse, Proverbs 22:13. And you might hear this in your children, and you might even find yourself coming up with excuses, not quite similar to this one. But the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Well, of course, we don't have lions walking around. I mean, maybe if you're in West Side or Aberdeen, a mountain lion, or, maybe out in the Kuiper's Way, I don't know. But we take precautions, right? Some of you might have seen that picture that was floating around on the internet of the mountain biker that saw a mountain lion. To tell you, that looked like a scary picture. That was just a couple of weeks ago in West Side, and that mountain lion was kind of backed up against the bank, and you could tell the mountain lion was going, had the mouth open, and not a sound I would like to have heard at that close range. But people make excuses. Oh, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. Other verses in Proverbs talk about it's too cold, it's too hot. Sometimes it is hot. Sometimes it is cold. We live in a climate that can be oppressively hot at times. So what do? We get up early. Get up early while it's still cooler. We try to get as much done in the early hours. And then maybe we go and do some projects inside during those hot hours. Or if need be, even take a siesta, if that's the most appropriate thing. And then in the evening, maybe do some more. Let's take a look at Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. That man is void of understanding. And often, he is void of understanding because he has chosen not to hear instruction. We've read about how the simple, so often, not interested. They don't want to hear instruction. They are more wise in their own conceit than seven men that can render a reason, as Solomon said. And verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. We ought to receive instruction as we look at people, at situations, and not in the perspective of, I'm so much better than they are, but rather it's like, wow. Look what happens when a person lets things go. And when we start to let things go, it is a hard road to recover from. It's hard to catch up to that speeding ball, like a bowling ball going down a mountain. It's hard to catch up and get things to slow that ball down. Verse 33, yet a little slumber, or a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come, as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. think when it talks about the one that traveleth is the one that's maybe they're running from someone, kind of like David running from Absalom, David running from Saul. They want shall come. Well, we're kind of running out of time, but I just wanted to take us back to our text. I'm going to take us to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19. Proverbs 15, verse 19. We'll complete these thoughts, Lord willing, next week. But Proverbs 15, verse 19, we read, "The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." I think there could be a couple interpretations to this verse. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. You know, for the slothful person, it's like, whoa, all that work, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to do this job. And they feel like they're compassed about with all these thorns. We could link it with a verse we just read about where Solomon was talking about how he looked on that person who was void of understanding, and there was thorns grown up around that vineyard. I was thinking about this and kind of applying it to our life. As many of you know, my wife and I have been trying to sell off a bunch of stuff that we don't need. And I've really come to the place where I no longer give. I think I'm putting an appropriate value on things. Yes, as we read today, that the diligent person, his things are precious to him. But at the same time, I'm not going to let my possessions own me. And when I think of how our things can sometimes be like a thorn, a hedge of thorns, you know, sometimes you're trying to clean something, and you're like, but I got all this stuff. I don't even have a place to put this stuff up. You know, I just recently, you know, I've gotten into some, you know, buying and selling tools and using the profits to go towards our children's RESPs. And you know, I ended up buying a number of tools at decent prices. And right now my workshop is full of these tools. And I had a situation about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago where I had this big stand and I brushed against it, had my back towards it. Next thing I hear behind me, crash. And it had fallen against this bandsaw that I had that was in next to mint condition. And it broke apart. Fortunately, it's the part that I mentioned a couple weeks ago that Brother Slaypin was able to weld together. And so that's good. But having all those things in close proximity, I don't have even room to move without knocking something over. It was like a hedge of thorns. You know, my shelving units couldn't get access to them because of stuff in front of them. And so we got to be careful about our things, that we don't allow our things to enclose us around like a hedge of thorns. Let's only keep what we need. And what I've learned is that, you know what? So what if I got something for a good deal? Sometimes we buy things, we go, I can't get rid of this. I got it for such a good deal. Great. You got it for a good deal? Then sell it and make a profit. Right? And you know, we get these things and we're like, maybe some year from now, 10 years from now or whatever, I'll fix this. And it will be, you know, no, it's junk. You know, let someone else fix it. Let someone else use it. And, you know, where we learn to actually leave things that we don't need. And so that we're not compassed about with a hedge of thorns. Okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We pray that each one of us would work heartily as unto the Lord, both in our private life, in our public life, in our work environment, in our ministry, wherever you've called us to minister. We pray that we would not be compassed about with a hedge of thorns, a hedge of possessions that end up possessing us and not we them. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to get rid of what we don't need, and that we'd be content with what such things as we have. Help us to be led of you in making purchases, so that we don't look back later and realize that we made the wrong mistake. And we just pray that you would help us in these areas. We ask that you'd be with the service to follow, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.